going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning, Tone!
Amazing, amazing that everything came into play that way on Saturday. Perfect. Me and you haven't hung out.
Saturday?
When's the last time me and you have had drinks? Hung out like the good old days when you were living in Tremont.
Well, that's been years. That's been years.
And doing a little day drinking. We're watching the Cavs Miami Heat ass.
So Saturday, Lime and I, we had to go to Greeny's. We didn't have to, but we went. We went to Greeny's sports card show, which was fun. And you and I did a thing with Jeremy Levine up there. And then it was time to go. We went, and Lime was like...
Retrospective, by the way.
Yes. At first, I thought we were going to go to a place, in Independence, and you go, let's go to the Monkey. I says, okay, we'll go to the Monkey. Go to the Monkey. It's been years. I mean, it's been years since I've been in the Monkey. Hasn't changed. Love it. And we're sitting there, taking in the Cavs game. I told Lime before the game, I go, I'm actually nervous. He goes, there's nothing to be nervous about. I go, yeah. Darius talks all that crap, and then now he's not going to be playing this, that, and the other. And so they start boat racing the Miami Heat in the game.
The Ty Jerome 17-0 run.
Lime and I, arms crossed at the bar, watching the game, like a couple of old dudes sit there, and somebody comes up and shows us their phone. And hand to God, guys, they showed us, like, Donna Ponte going up to make the announcement for the Browns, and I thought for sure, because I knew that he had gotten pranked on the phone, Shedeur Sanders did, so I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought it was going to immediately go to the meme of the man sitting on the edge of the bed with his you-know-what hanging, basically, to the floor. R.I.P., by the way, that man. I thought it was going to go to that. And all of a sudden, my phone lights up, and Lima's going, no, I didn't really do this. I go, Lima, they did. They really drafted Shedeur Sanders. Lima, they drafted Shedeur Sanders. I cannot believe they drafted Shedeur Sanders. And there were a couple people who were kind of like, oh, God. There were a lot of people who were really excited. You and I just got excited.
Oh, we went nuts.
I just thought, hey, you know what? It's the fifth round. And I don't think they're going to be that great this year. I hope that they're going to be wonderful, but I don't think they're going to be that great. And if they're not going to be that great, boy, I might as well have some fun. And it seems like we are going to have some fun, at least in training camp. This is going to be a hoot. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it. I want to see him in rookie camp. I want to see the whole spectacle. I understand that Andrew Berry he needs some acting classes because he did not look very thrilled there during the clapping in the draft room.
He couldn't even fake it.
It was something to behold. Something to behold. So we have ourselves a chock-full quarterback room right now.
How many guys are in there? 17?
About 18, 19 guys. I think Eric Zier's in there somewhere. Maybe he's going to be in the running. Like, you got plenty of people there that you can go with who could possibly be a Browns quarterback right now. And I saw the odds that are there. You know, Kenny Pickett leads the odds
to
be starting quarterback week one. Yeah. Kenny Pickett has it leads the way for starting quarterback week one.
I just assumed Pickett was off the team.
He's
supposed to be the starter.
He's the one sending out the text.
Exactly.
Welcome in, everybody.
He's texting Quinshon Judkins. Welcome to the group, man. Welcome to the fold. Welcome to the brethren.
Well, I tried to think of all the people that were impacted by this move. Like, I think Joe Flacco is just sitting there going, whatever.
I don't think Joe Flacco cares.
I'm 40 years old. I've been in the NFL forever.
I don't think Joe Flacco cares.
Like, whatever. This is bizarre. Maybe he's like, you know what? They can explain it to me in camp when I show up. Probably Joe Flacco's like, I don't really need any reps. So if you wanna divvy up the reps to everybody else, hey, DTR, is he still on the team? Give him some reps too. Like, yeah. Who cares? Like, I think Joe Flacco at this stage of his career is like, whatever. We'll let things kind of settle after that. But then I thought, like, we had Kenny Pickett on the station.
Yep.
We've talked so much about, like, his path and how he can hang around in the NFL. And then I thought about Dylan Gabriel. Like, Dylan Gabriel has to be pissed off, doesn't he?
Yeah, you would imagine.
He has to be incensed because Kenny, you interviewed him.
Yeah, I did.
On the night that they drafted him.
Yeah, we did.
Like 10 minutes after they drafted him, he's talking to you, and what was your takeaway? You were blown away by how mature.
Well, I said, I'm not going to back off this statement. Just because I got to talk to him and I like him doesn't mean I understood the decision. I did not understand the decision. I didn't get it. And we could talk about it. We got plenty of time to get into it. But at the very beginning and still to this day, I really don't understand the decision to go with him. Just basically because, hey, they think they know better. Fine. That's fine. I had him ninth out of 10 guys, whatever. They know more about quarterbacks than I do, apparently. So that's no big deal. But I found him to be a grown man, an adult. He came off as a very responsible man. He was ready to answer. Somebody had shown him the video about the more sunshine, the better clip before he did the interview. Because I asked him about the weather, and it was like he was champing at the bit to be able to say something about the weather comments that he had made. So somebody showed him the reflog video that went out there before he started doing interviews. And I was like, okay, he's a likable guy. We'll see where it goes. Probably ain't going to go anywhere. Third round, I would have rather have taken a guy who's going to get on the field at some point and contribute. But okay, fine, let's see where it goes. And then we get to the fifth round yesterday after we take Sampson and we got another running back. I'm going, all right, fine. That sounds good. And then they take Shador Sanders and I go, okay, well, this is about having fun now. This is just about having fun.
Now, granted,
I'm going to have fun.
Granted, we were drinking beer when it was taken and we were around a bunch of Browns fans from the 537.
I feel like I'm talking to my wife. I had two beers. I had two beers too.
We were holding it down. And so, yes, we were having fun. What do you think that Browns building was like? What do you think that organization was like?
I think there were some folks in there who took my thought to it going, we aren't going to be that great this year. These two first round picks are for a quarterback next year. Damn it. Who's ready to have some fun? And then I thought there were some people going, all right, I really love Shador Sanders. And there's definitely plenty of people in that building. Probably Andrew Berry, because you can't deny the face that was made there, who were thinking, oh God, oh great. Great, that's who we took in the fifth round. All right, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I mean, his track record isn't necessarily sterling when we go back over the last 5 years, so if we want to get all worked into a shoot over it, I don't know, we could have taken another wide receiver. Would have needed another wide receiver, but could have taken another wide receiver, and boy, we could just start pulling out names if we want to start pulling out names of wide receivers that were taken that didn't really help. So I looked at it and gone, all right, it's a fifth-round pick. You want to take a flyer, quote-unquote, on a guy in the fifth round, fine. But, of course, it's Shador. It's his father. It's the whole thing. And I am ready for it. I am ready for the challenge. I am ready for the fun. I'm ready for the rumor and innuendo. Folks, I'm down with it.
I mean, we're talking about what is it going to be like in training camp. How about rookie minicamp? What is that going to be like?
It's going to be a hell of a thing. I did. I talked to some people out in Colorado yesterday. Ran it past a couple of folks, which somebody had said, and this is how much people pay attention to us outside. He goes, do you understand? Like, he has his own fan base. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, when we got him, when we had his dad brought in, to be the head coach. Like, we just got more and more people who wanted to be, like, they have their own fan base. Like, oh, yeah, we had Odell. He goes, oh, that's right. Yeah, he's like, yeah. I was like, we're used to that. That's okay.
Well, I mean, that was Baker. Baker, we got,
yeah,
we ended up
true.
Airing our games. We're aired in Oklahoma, were they not?
Yes, we were on a station in Norman, I think it was.
Yeah.
I don't think
and
they carry
in
the,
Tulsa.
Yeah, I don't think that Tulsa or Norman carry the Browns anymore down there. They used the term, a couple people used the term misunderstood. One person said something that was so crazy, I'm not going to read it to you until later. Because I don't think it would go well right now. So remind me about that by the end of the show. I'll read it by the end of the show.
Read us one word per segment.
You want to do that? Put together the puzzle. That'll keep them listening all 4 hours. 216-474-0092. All right, what do you think? Do you have a problem with the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders?
Well, I think...
I think a lot of people might have a problem with the rumors going around that somebody might have walked into the room
well,
and said,
yeah.
We're taking him. But
how else could it be? What possible conclusion could anybody else have other than the owner made the pick here? Which, owners, it's happened in the NFL. Mike Lombardi told the stories of back in the day, Al Davis. They would do all the work. They'd have everything. They had done, you know, 6 months of collaboration, and they'd have an order, and then they would hear the swish, swish, swish of his.
That's exactly how I put it. The swishy pants.
Yes, the swishy pants.
Yes.
Of him walking in and saying, all right, we're taking this guy. And he would do it not in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Like, he would do it way higher than that.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it was still a business. Of course, he was a football guy, but it's still a business. What did we all think going into the weekend? Browns are punting on this year. Right? Did we not? Like, if we're being honest, once you trade out of the Travis Hunter pick, it was not win now mode. It wasn't. You just look what they did in free agency. This was a, let's hold down the fort for a year. Let's get ready for next year's incredible quarterback draft class.
Yep, that's what it is.
We are punting on the year. Well, if you're going to punt on the year, might as well make it fun.
I think that's what he must have been thinking. Because if we're going to do this again, and go back to 16-17 land, which I don't think it's going to be that bad, but it ain't going to be that great. But if we're going to go do this whole thing again, because it's about finding the quarterback, well, people are going to have some fun. And I'm going to have some fun. And I feel bad for Dillon Gabriel to a certain respect. I feel bad kind of for Kenny Pickett to a certain respect. I don't feel bad at all for Joe Flacco. Again, like you said, I don't think Joe Flacco cares.
Dillon Gabriel, he had to be, because he probably got a text before anything. And he's probably like, what? This can't be. This is not really what happened. Yeah. This makes no sense.
Probably not. But there were people going, well, you're going to be begging to get rid of him in 4 years. I go, guys, we could be getting rid of him by the end of the summer. He is very much like, I wonder what was said. Now, you could say, well, it's Jimmy's team and he could just demand that he's on the football team. That's true.
Well, Jimmy, if that's the case, wouldn't Jimmy have demanded they taken him earlier?
That's what you would think, because I would sit there and think, all right, the message has been sent by the league, by everybody. You're a fifth-round choice. Mel Kiper Jr. can cry on television all he wants. The league has spoken. Fifth-round pick is a fifth-round pick is a fifth-round pick. So you might get to the end of camp, of regular training camp, and you may say, you know what, he's a practice squad guy. You may do that. Because there's going to be, now, from a football standpoint, you traded for Kenny Pickett. All right, you traded a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett. But Kenny Pickett does have some chops, as much as I don't want to admit he does. Joe Flacco's Joe Flacco. The prodigal son returns. You took Dillon Gabriel in the third round. Are you going to cut Dillon Gabriel? Because can you keep four quarterbacks? I don't think you can on the active roster. Are you going to cut Dillon Gabriel,
well,
a third-round pick, and try to stash him on the practice squad? No.
Yeah, but if anybody you put on the practice squad, right, especially somebody in his situation, doesn't the rest of the league have a chance?
Yes.
Yeah. They can pick him up at any time.
And so if there's any injuries or anything.
I think you can protect a couple, if I'm not mistaken. I go back and look through. Don't quote me on that.
Well,
I got to go back and look through, and I'm sure my phone will.
We're going to keep this guy on our practice squad. He's not going to be on your active roster and get an active roster paycheck.
Like, no.
If some other team says, we're going to put him on our active roster.
But the thing is, this is why I would think that he is a possibility to just be cut at the end of camp and put on the practice squad. You went five rounds. Nobody wanted him. He went five rounds. Every team had a draft pick. Nobody wanted him. And he'll show flashes in training camp. We understand that, right? He's playing against base defenses. He will show flashes in training camp, guaranteed. He'll show flashes in the three preseason games, because he'll play in the three preseason games. And so we'll have that discussion. But in the end, like, it makes him, like, we guys, let's, as much fun as this is, as much fun as this is going to be, and maybe I'll end up having to walk back some of this later on, he's the easiest one to move on from. But to say, hey, you're not going to make the 53 here. We're going to put you on the practice squad. Because, again, you went five rounds, nobody wanted him. So if you went five rounds, nobody wanted him, there's a humility that has to set in. You got pranked, for crying out loud, which was not the right thing to do, but we'll talk about that.
It was an all-time prank.
There is a humbling.
It's one of the best pranks I've ever seen.
There is a humbling that goes on here. I don't think that's the right thing to say. My God. I didn't hear the phone call yet.
Reckless speculation.
Oh, you're going to.
I will admit, I didn't hear the phone call.
Is Kenny going to hear the phone call?
Oh, I'm going to hear the phone call.
You'll hear that a couple times probably today.
Those things like that, I just cringe and I go, I know I'm going to hear it on the air. I don't want to hear it now.
I saw enough from the weekend of people chastising it, and then I heard Anthony Lyman walk through the door, and I thought, oh, we're going
to
play that.
So if teams are willing to pass up on him five times, some even more, five times over if teams are willing to pass up on him, if he is the second quarterback taken in this draft, I think he's the most easily put on the practice squad right now. And so there is a, hey, man, I don't know what you said in all these interviews to rub everybody the wrong way, but you're going to have to fix that, or it's going to be a short time in the NFL for you, buddy. That's all there is to it. So as there's much fun as there is, he's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to put in the work. 216-474-0092. Do you have a problem with the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round? Because I can't deny it. I grinned ear to ear and I went, well, it's time to have some fun. At least if we're not going to be that great, at least we're going to be hooting and hollering for something. That's Kevin and Andrew laughing off their reactions that they had on camera after the Browns took Shedeur Sanders. Maybe that's the case.
Wait, does he think they were showing the war room from like a previous round?
I don't know.
Yeah, because it looked like it was timed up pretty close.
It's like the speed camera, and they just showed it on a loop while they're getting the people off the bus. Boy, what a moment that was, because immediately that was the next reaction. It's like, oh, my God, they took Shedeur Sanders. Look at their faces. Okay. Hey, man, you could see my face. I was excited.
But even the phone call, the actual phone call, not the prank phone call to Shedeur, the actual phone call. That was made from, what was it? Was it Andrew Berry who was on the phone first?
Yes.
And then it was Kevin. Like, it didn't exactly sound, like, again, it's fifth round, right? I mean, that's not going to sound like a first round call, but I'm sure, I didn't think the official Shedeur, whenever he got drafted, I thought it would sound a lot different from what it ended up sounding like.
It was certainly not as blustery as what some of the phone calls have been in the past. 216-474-0092. All right, you have a problem with the Browns taking Shedeur. I see that you do not.
So here is my bigger issue.
Obviously, there's problems that could arise,
yeah,
but
my bigger issue is, obviously, me and you both liked. I'm not going to change where our stance was heading to the draft. We both liked him, and we thought a lot of the negativity was ridiculous about him, like, off the field, as if, like, they were talking about him as if he had all sorts of assault cases behind him.
Well,
like,
Saturday morning,
he's been clean.
Yes. Saturday morning, I woke up and I had basically accepted what this was. And what this was, I don't think that there's anything nefarious. I didn't think that there was anything nasty, mean-spirited, except for the phone call from the kid. I didn't think there was anything like that from teams.
This wasn't Mike Green with the Baltimore Ravens.
It wasn't that either. It was, you know, there were two sides. There were people who did not want anything to do with him, notably NFL football teams. And then there was this outpouring from media, the collusion and things. Yeah, they all assume they don't want the guy, and they certainly didn't want him for the first four rounds. I mean, that's what it is. So I wasn't going to sit there and throw a fit. I thought, honestly, Mel Kiper embarrassed himself. I think a lot of people embarrassed
themselves. The whole thing was ridiculous.
Because we said so many things about him, and then we couldn't believe that he had fallen to where he had fallen. So it's got to be insane for us that he has fallen where he's fallen. I assumed it. I just accepted it. And I said, hey, I said a lot of nice things about Shedeur Sanders. I like Shedeur Sanders. I still think that he could be a good quarterback. Clearly, these things that are said, clearly there's got to be some truth to them. I just have to accept that. I just have to deal with this instead of saying making wild proclamations and flatly embarrassing myself on the radio even more so than I already do. Yes, Owen.
Well, I was just going to, you brought up Mel Kiper. We've got a clip of Mel Kiper on Saturday just kind of losing it over the NFL passing on Shedeur as many times they did. And he has to do it because he ranked him so high. And he talked about it for like 2 months before the draft about, we had the clip from 2 months ago where he said, he's the number one quarterback. The Browns should take Abdul Carter, but he's the number one quarterback.
I mean, to some level, I can understand him being miffed, but play it. Play the thing.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Thing from ESPN, go ahead.
It's not putting a value judgment on whether those who passed are right or wrong. They did.
Yep.
So now, whenever you're in circumstances in life, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're fair or whether they're unfair, you might have to deal with them.
That's right.
Now Shedeur Sanders has to deal with whether he played a minute, microscopic percentage, 0%, or it's a legitimate criticism of the way he conducted himself during the draft process. This was the result. Now he has an opportunity to answer it. Yelling at the NFL about it is not
right. There's not a quarterback. Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was the second round pick.
Sure.
Tom Brady was not happy. They dropped. How'd they turn out?
And you know what? Nobody's arguing that.
My point
can happen.
Race, the NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback? They don't.
Listen, there's no clear evidence that.
What a party it was in Wisconsin. My God, Joe Thomas. I can picture him right now. Raven, get some water.
There is no clear evidence that, yeah, man, what Mel Kiper does, while it certainly provides a service and is interesting and really, really good, is different from what they see. It's different from what they... His information is still different to a degree than what the information that they get in the NFL. And I think throwing a fit over it wasn't the way to go about it. I accept it for what it is.
Well, then
I can say, hey, if Shedeur Sanders ends up looking really good and ends up being the next big thing in the NFL, I could say, hey, I was right. They were all wrong. They had five rounds to get this guy. They didn't do it. The Browns didn't. Look what the Browns did. I was right. You were wrong. Instead of just throwing a fit and acting like a toddler there on television all weekend long until they finally take him.
What I couldn't stand is the hijacking that went on from people. That it's like, all right, this checks the box. I'm now going to go after this. This is going to be my cause, right? Like, this was the people saying it was a race issue. Did you see who went number one? Like, what? So, okay, the race issue only impacted one guy and not the other. That was silly. That said, this league has no problem drafting black quarterbacks. Look at Jaden Daniels. I mean, come on. The list goes on about the willingness of NFL teams around the league, even ones you wouldn't think, right? The ones that have the ridiculous... background, whatever.
Clearly.
So that was stupid. That was so dumb. I couldn't believe the stuff I was hearing there. To me, when it comes to the Browns and their situation, it just doesn't it seem like this is self-sabotaging for the quarterbacks, for the Browns to sabotage their own quarterbacks. You would never come up with a scenario where it would make sense to take Gabriel and then Shedeur, and then, oh, by the way, you've got another first-round pick next year to go get a quarterback.
No, I disagree.
So that to me, I remember when we always used to argue, and I was like, Browns take quarterback every year, every round, until you get one right.
I was going to use your words against you.
And then you would say what? You'd say, well, that's ridiculous. How does that even work in camp? Well, this is ridiculous. How is it going to work in camp? How is this poised to get the best out of your draft picks? In this situation.
I don't know.
It isn't.
Well,
you would never conjure up a plan of attack, a strategy, a best practices that would involve taking Gabriel where they took him and then turning around and taking Shedeur.
There were several, though, who were saying that if it were flipped around, if they would have taken Sanders at 33 and Dylan Gabriel with pick 144, that people would be celebrating this and would like this. So you're saying that it didn't make any sense to take two quarterbacks no matter what?
I think Gabriel didn't make sense to begin with. I thought that was a waste of a pick for a team that needed as much talent as humanly possible with the old aging roster that we all agreed that they had. And the fact that they needed this draft to finally turn it over. They used two of those picks on quarterbacks. So you're not helping find those young starters. This was going to be a two draft plus turnaround. And to me, they wasted two of the picks. Like I once you got out of the Travis Hunter business, which I thought made all the sense in the world. Oh yeah, this is a team that needs two drafts. They're going to find an extra first rounder next year. That's going to be used to move heaven and earth to get the quarterback in next year's loaded quarterback class, at which every draft pundit thinks is going to be 10 times better than this quarterback class. Instead, you took two picks.
Well, I was, but the Dylan Gabriel one, I'm not defending. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I know that they saw him. Kevin saw him. They liked the arm. He's 5'11", 5'10". He's as tall as you. I don't know. I don't understand it, Tone. I ain't gonna lie. The one with Shedeur Sanders, you get to the fifth round, you could sit there and clearly say, yeah, he's got an upside. He's certainly got an upside for a fifth rounder. Let's see where it is. So taking two quarterbacks to that level, I think that we already knew that this was going to be at least a two-draft recovery here because you gave up three first-round picks for a guy that's not going to play. So if you're giving up three first-round picks, then yeah, we already know it's going to be a recovery there. And so they're going to go, okay, we need quarterbacks. We know that we're probably going to burn two first-round picks next year or an extra first-round picks next year to take that quarterback. Let's throw as much as we can in the youth and see where it is. Joe will be there to steady the ship to start things off, even though that the betting favorite seems to be Kenny Pickett. They'll give Kenny a shot, and then one of these two guys, we'll see where it is. And we will have exhausted all options before we go with quarterback X out of next year's draft.
I guess when we talk about
it's not
like,
the best logic ever, but that's I'm only explaining the way I think they see it.
Yeah, normally when like you understand teams, they all make their big swings at quarterback right along the way. Sometimes you get lucky, like the 49ers, they made their big swing, Trey Lance, and then ended up with Brock Purdy. So obviously, to Mel Kiper's point, this is nowhere near a science. Teams have been blowing this up for years.
Clearly.
My issue is not, like, yes, yeah, Shedeur Sanders, I was high on him. It's not that I wasn't high on him. It's that this plan of attack feels like you're going to get the worst out of both those quarterbacks. And it's going to go down to me right now. If I were to look into my crystal ball, I'd say both of these players are probably not going to be your future quarterback. And you've wasted opportunities to help your football team with other priority position.
I think our message to him, it's really all this. It's like, look, got to come in and work, and you got to come in and compete. You know, that's the message. Nothing's given. Given the nature of the weekend for him, you know, relative to, let's say, external expectation versus what happened, you know, we did tell him that it really doesn't matter where you picked. It's what you do from that point forward. Because that's the reality for all the guys that we selected this weekend. You know, in terms of his reaction, I just say it was probably a mixture of like gratitude, relief, and determination. That would probably be the best way to characterize it. But you know, he's certainly ready to go.
It's Andrew talking about when Shedeur Sanders was taken. They did have media availability with Shedeur Sanders on Saturday, as he is now a Cleveland Brown, taken in the fifth round. So where do you come out on it? Do you think that this is a problem with the Browns taking Shedeur? I don't. If I'm not going to be that great, I might as well have a little bit of fun, and I'm having some fun, which I understand. That's insulting. It's not insulting. It's not insulting. He's got a high upside. He is definitely a sure of himself young man, I would say. And I don't take umbrage with the NFL for making him wait or not taking him, not making him wait, but not taking him for five rounds. They like what they like. They don't what they like. They take what they want. The Browns picked up a player that they wanted. I think that as of right now, if I'm making a decision to let anybody, if you're taking Dylan Gabriel with a third pick, you want to talk about passionate picks? You're making a passionate pick there. Because we all looked at each other, like, I ain't gonna lie, we all looked at each other, like, what are they doing? When they took Dylan Gabriel,
because
we
thought was way ahead of where, yes, of where all the pundits thought that he belonged.
So somebody in our studio, real quick, on Friday night, they're in our studio, like, they left the room for a second, and I go, we're taking Shedeur Sanders. We don't get reactions like this unless they take big-name guys. We're taking Shedeur Sanders with this pick in the third round. And then they came back and they just stared. And then my phone lights up and I go, oh, my God, they're taking Dylan Gabriel. And you have to sit there and sit on it until the NFL actually makes their decision. And they went to break three times before we made a pick in the first three rounds. So we had to sit there and wait. And I'm going, I do not like this pick. Holy God, I do not like this pick. But clearly they do. So as of right now, Kenny's on the team. Joe's on the team. Dylan Gabriel is on the team because you're making that decision strongly. You believe in this young man. And then, I'm sorry, guys, as of right now, Shedeur Sanders is a practice squad guy. Unless he has this, he has rookie camp and he has training camp to go out and put himself above Dylan Gabriel. That's what he has. As of right now, he's a fifth-round practice squad guy. So I might as well have a little bit of fun with it until he proves differently. 216-474-0092. Tony in Mansfield, your first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Tony. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was kind of confused with the direction, I guess. Not really the pick, but the direction of the draft and what the identity seemed to be moving forward. Obviously, we know with, like, us not drafting much offense when we have a team that can't score more than 14 points a game. But beyond that, talking about the quarterbacks, you know, the Dylan Gabriel thing, there's no way that you can tell me with any measurable or any sort of anything towards him that was the pick to take there with all the quarterbacks still left on the board. The only thing that you could say is possibly that the teams that he went to as he transferred and then finally at Oregon, that he did succeed every team he went to, but just the measurables don't seem to translate to the NFL. Now, the Shedeur Sanders pick, I'm perfectly fine with it. I don't see any problem with Shedeur. Was I very high on him? No, I like Will Howard better than Shedeur. But, I mean, really, there's nothing that says that he will be a practice squad player. Now, it makes sense where he was drafted, but there's no reason to think. So my thing is I truly believe, and I don't know why I believe this, because I never was a fan of him whatsoever. I think when it comes to week one, I think Joe Flacco will be there, but I think eventually, I think it'll be Kenny Pickett will be the starter. They'll shelf Joe Flacco, and I think Shedeur Sanders will be our backup, and I think we won't have Dylan Gabriel on the roster.
To have to cut a third round pick, I mean, that's pretty strong.
Well, I'm saying active roster. I bet you he'll be on the practice squad. I mean, there's nothing. And maybe I'll be completely wrong, but I think every measurable, including now, obviously we talked about, there's been a lot of talk about the way that Shedeur handled himself, you know, in some interviews. I think that there's a lot of farce there. Obviously, maybe the blacklist of him's fallen so far, but I mean, skill wise, like, he's there. And then personality and the way he was raised, I mean, whether it be just the way that he was coached his whole life, but also the way that he was raised. Morally and ethically outside of football. I like you said, Ken, you know, he's the most NFL ready mentally. I don't know. I think the pick for Shedeur, I think the value's there. I mean, the reason why I'm kind of like, is just the direction of the draft in.
Okay.
I don't understand the two quarterbacks, where they happen, the Dylan Gabriel, then the Shedeur. With all of our other needs on offense.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Tony, I think a lot of people agree with you, and thank you very much for the call. I think a lot do. I think it would be a very strong thing, though. I mean, because you still have to go through the cut process, he still have to clear, and then you have to pistach him on the practice squad, which is a possibility considering that I think a lot of people feel that Dylan Gabriel was, quote, overdrafted. So there is that possibility. To me, I just look at them how they are right now. Joe, Kenny, Dylan Gabriel's a third-round pick. The fifth-round choice is Shedeur Sanders. So Shedeur Sanders, as of right now, is the odd man out. We'll see. He has the opportunity to start changing that this weekend.
When these guys get on the field, when they are both out at, like, rookie minicamp, and sometimes I've heard NFL guys talk about how sometimes it's right away. You can tell things like, oh, my God. Like
Carmazzi from San Francisco, the same draft class as Tom Brady. They talk about that.
So you can tell, like, things can leap off the page at you right away. The thing is here, Dylan Gabriel's got a way better arm than Shedeur. So Shador's not going to win that battle. So then it comes to, all right, who can show that they can absorb a playbook? The stuff that the caller just alluded to, like Todd McShay says, he talked to a guy in the Giants organization and said Shedeur couldn't draw up a play. Like, the team was miffed. The coaches were miffed. at how far behind he was. And that's McShay's putting his name on that. Like, I talked to a guy with the Giants who told me he could not go up on the whiteboard. So where is Shador going to win those types of battles with Gabriel, who is one of the, like, the most mature guys in the draft? So I am curious about the humbling part of this, where, you know, Shador and his dad, they tried to be a disruptor. Like, they tried to come in and disrupt the NFL, and the NFL was like, no. Like, Maurice Claret tried to be a disruptor. The NFL said, no. Okay?
Yeah.
Said, Colin Kaepernick tried to be a disruptor. The league says no. This league still does not operate the way that people think, like the NBA, you know, the Ball family came in and they disrupted the NBA. Well, the two top, what, three picks in the NBA. This was not that. Like, I wonder how much he can be humbled in, like, a quick amount of time.
Mike in Akron, you're next up on The Fan.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I'm not even going to really talk about the third and the fifth, because if you switched them and all of a sudden you took Shador before Dylan Gabriel, we'd be having a different conversation, right? I'd like to talk about Andrew Berry's talent evaluation at the quarterback position. There is absolutely no way that we can let this man have two first-round picks next year in a heavy quarterback draft with what he's shown in talent evaluation at quarterback. I'm sorry. I think that when he made the trade to move back to number five, the Travis Hunter trade, he's actually gave that pick to the next GM, because we just can't let him pick a quarterback. He just can't do it. He's shown that he cannot judge and grade quarterbacks correctly. And I can't give him two first round picks next year. I can't.
Well, that decision will be made during the season, I'm sure, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. If they don't win enough games, I mean, if they go out and they win 9 games this year some way, somehow, he's going to be the general manager going into next year. If they go out there and they win 3 games this year or less, then yeah, there's a possibility he could be gone. If they go, because if you kept everybody after winning 3 games, how high can the next bar be? Do I expect there to be some dramatic turnaround? I mean, clearly they think they're better than what they were last year. But how much better do you have to be to hold on to your job? That's got to be the biggest question that I think we'll have to answer this coming season. Josh on the road, you're next up on The Fan.
Gentlemen, good morning. I can't get over the draft room when they picked Bronny Sanders. Like, was that a Jimmy Haslam thing? Like, just people are generally excited when they pick
now,
up.
Now, why did you call him Bronny Sanders?
Because he's a freaking nepo baby, Ken. Listen to this and hear me out, okay? At least Dylan Gabriel was out hunting a Heisman while Shador was sitting on his butt waiting for Daddy to retire his number. Like, let's be real.
Shador, can you talk about actual football? Like, you thought Shador was like some horrible quarterback last year? He was pretty good, wasn't he?
I'm not saying that he's a horrible quarterback.
You called him a nepo baby as if he had no business playing football and quarterbacking at Colorado. That's insane. He was good. He's the best quarterback they had in how many years?
Yes, and he was there because Daddy Dion dragged him over.
Do you like Arch Manning?
I'm indifferent to Arch Manning.
Oh,
I'm out
okay.
to see us win.
No,
I'm out to see us win.
So wait, you don't think he earned anything? You don't think he earned anything at Colorado?
I think he earned a shot at Colorado. I'm just saying
what is the nepo baby part? You mentioned nepo baby like 4 times as if he wasn't one of the better quarterbacks in college football last year. Are you saying that if he had another last name, he wouldn't have played college football?
I'm saying that he wouldn't have played.
Do you know what a nepo baby is?
Yes.
Is that just a phrase you throw around with your buddies in text threads every day? Like, I'm so confused.
Shut up and listen to me for a second.
You haven't made a point. You haven't explained what a nepo baby is. Leave him on.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'm going to have to root for the Steelers because they actually took a worthy quarterback.
Oh, for the love of God.
Now I've got to deal with Dion in Cleveland.
No, Mike.
Because Jimmy Haslam's crack pipe is glowing.
Okay. Well, that's... You're going to go root for the Steelers over Will Howard? I mean, I love Will Howard. I'm not going to take away anything I said about Will Howard, but good God, he was a 6th-round pick.
So again, and we've made the point 1,000 times, but are you going to be calling Arch Manning. Are you going to be calling him a Nepo baby next year?
That's what I set it up to be, because it's like, guys, in the next 2 years, he's going to be coming out. Are we just going to say the same thing? Now, I'm sure he's going to be a better prospect than what we've seen with Shedeur Sanders. So far, I mean, he hasn't played that much, but every time he plays, he seems to go out there and put something on film that's incredible.
I mean, do you realize,
so we'll see what he does.
Do you realize in all the major sports now, the kids of the parents that were really good, that had all the resources, are now the next rung of really good prospects?
Yeah.
Like, Carlos Boozer's kids are really good. They are really good. Are they Nepo babies now? Like, what do we... Scottie Pippen's kid is really good. He's playing meaningful minutes in the playoffs. Like, this is the future of sports. If you notice some of the baseball kids that have come along, like, I just don't understand... Nepo baby, as if Shedeur was horrific
and kept
starting even though he was a terrible quarterback.
216-474-0092. I mean, we can't deny that it was a huge drop in the draft. I mean, remember, his brother plays on the football team. His brother didn't even get drafted. So I don't know if Nepo baby really works in this scenario here.
Well, people are saying is his last name cost him in the draft. So where's the benefits out of being the Nepo baby there?